Be pleased to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. For the last 2 weeks, we have been studying the biblical truth that life is not about me, it's about God. Life is not all about my happiness, my goals, and my desires, and what I want. It's about God. It's about His glory. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does that mean that God wants us to be miserable? We looked at that last week, and that, of course, is not true. On many occasions, He has expressed that He wants His joy fulfilled in us. He wants us to have peace and fulfillment and satisfaction and yes, happiness. But He's also told us how that's going to come about in our lives. He's made it clear that if we do not humble ourselves before Him, if we go our own way and do our own thing and put ourselves first, there will be no peace. There will be no satisfaction. There will be no joy. There will be no fulfillment. But He also has told us that if we humble ourselves before Him and we do follow Him in the paths of righteousness, that He will give us that joy and that contentment and that fulfillment in life. Yes, He'll give us happiness. Life is not about me, it's about God. And maybe you are thinking to yourself, well, okay, I get that, but at least I run a close second. Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but that's not true either. It's not about God. It's not about me, it's about God. And also, it's not about me, it's about others. We need to put others before ourselves as well. It's not just that God comes first and then we come second. God comes first and others come before ourselves. It's so easy to be wrapped up in our own interest. It's so easy to be wrapped up in our own goals and our own dreams and our own needs. In our own wants. Scripture is very clear that our goals, our needs, yes, even our feelings must come after the needs and goals and feelings of others. That is so contrary to what we're taught in this world today, but it is the scriptural principle. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I thank You this morning that we're able to come together and study Your Word. And Your Word, Father, teaches so differently than what the world and our own flesh would teach us. And yet Your Word is truth. We're so easily deceived by the world and by our own flesh. Help us to be reminded that the heart is deceitful above all things. Our own heart cannot be trusted. We must trust You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we consider this thought, it's not about me, it's about others. We need to go back to what we said a couple of weeks ago. As we were talking about it's not about me, but it's about God, we kind of broke that down into two thoughts. It's about the glory of God, and it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we come to that thought, it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to recognize that we need to obligate ourselves to others. Just as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when we looked at it there 2 weeks ago, he said he was willing to become a servant to all for the sake of the gospel. So he's putting the gospel of Christ first, but in putting the gospel of Christ first, he said, I'll become a servant to all. And the idea was that as he became a servant to all, he did so that he might see others saved. And so that brings us to our thought here this morning, that we need to recognize that others need to be put before ourselves as it relates to the unbeliever and their need of Jesus Christ. For as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he was willing to put others before himself and serve them in order to see them saved. Is that our attitude towards the unbeliever? Do we put their need of Christ before ourselves and before our own needs? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, perhaps a familiar verse to you, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He says when it comes to this proclaiming of the gospel, he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. I owe it to both the Greeks and the barbarians to proclaim the gospel. I am obligated to proclaim the gospel to them. Now what's that mean? To obligate himself or to owe it to others to proclaim the gospel. You know, if you would go to the bank and you want to borrow some money, they'll put you through all the checks and everything to make sure you're good for it, and you'll sign all the papers, and you promise, you obligate yourself to pay back the loan. $500 a month, I'll pay it back until it's paid off with interest. And you obligate yourself to it. You become a debtor to the bank. You owe it to them. And when you become obligated to that bank, that obligation has to come first above your own desires. In other words, if you sign those papers, you obligate yourself to the bank, and all at once, after making those payments for a few months, you think to yourself, you know what, I'm really tired of paying that $500 a month. I would really rather use that money for a cruise. And so you think, the bank will understand. I just won't pay it this month, and for the next 10 months, I'm going to save that money, and I'll have $5,000, and I can go on a cruise. You think the bank's going to come along and say, you know what, Don, I agree with you. Here's another $100. No, you've obligated yourself to that bank, and that desire to go on a cruise, no matter how strong that desire is, it cannot take precedence over your obligation. Isn't that what Paul's saying here? I am obligated to proclaim the gospel. And when he says, I'm obligated to proclaim the gospel, he's saying that need of theirs to know Jesus Christ must take precedence over my desires, over what I want to do, over my needs. Their need for Christ must take first place over my desires. He's obligated himself, he said. He was a debtor or obligated. He was saying that he would put others and their need of Christ before himself. I'm sure you've heard the example as well of perhaps someone who'd find a cure for cancer. And if someone did find a cure for cancer, but someone else came up to them and said, here's $1 million to keep quiet. Don't tell anyone. What would you think of that person who would take $1 million and not share with everyone else the cure for cancer? We'd recognize that selfishness, that they are looking at their own interest only, $1 million. And we would say that that's the epitome of selfishness. And yet, is that not what we do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? We have the cure for sin. We have the cure for eternal punishment. And how often do we keep silent? Because we're thinking of ourselves. We're too embarrassed. Or we have other concerns, we have other needs, and we're just not willing to really speak up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the sake of others. Paul goes on in verses 15 and 16. He says, I am ready to preach that gospel. I'm eager to do so. I've thought this through, and I've recognized that life is not about me. It's about others, and it's particularly with reference to the unbeliever. It's about their need of Christ, and so I'm ready. I've already thought this through, and I'm ready to proclaim it at any opportunity that comes up. And not only that, he says in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Life is not about me, so it's not about whether I'm going to be embarrassed. It's not about whether I'm going to be ridiculed. It's not about whether I'm going to be mocked because of my faith. It is about others and their need of Christ. I'm obligated to proclaim that gospel. I'm ready and eager to do so, and I'm not ashamed because life is not about me. It's about others, and particularly as relates to the unbeliever, it is about their need for Jesus Christ. That must take precedence over my desire. Over my wishes, over what I want to do, over my needs. It's not about me. It's about others. So Paul was ready and eager to proclaim the gospel and was not ashamed of it because life was not about him. It was about others. Would you go just a few pages forward in your Bible to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12. Paul again addresses this idea, not particularly as it relates to the unbeliever and their need of Christ, but just as it relates to others in general. And he says we need to value others. We need to obligate ourselves to others. We need to value others. Notice in Romans 12 in verse 10, being kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. What does it mean to give preference to one another? What's that mean? Well, the word that's used here, this word preference or to prefer or preferring one another, it's actually a compound word. It puts two words together. One word is the word to think. The other word is the word before. Proegeomai is the Greek word. To think before. And the thought is simply this. In honor, we are to think of others before ourselves. It's a very clear statement. We must think of others before ourselves. Life is not about me, it's about others. I need to think of others before myself. We don't do so well at that. When it comes to what I want, when it comes to how I'm feeling, when it comes to my goals and my desires and my wishes, I put myself first. I don't think first of the desires and feelings and wishes of others. I think about my own. And Paul says we need to think about others before ourselves. And then he throws that word in honor. In honor. It's a word that means to respect or to honor someone, but it comes from a root word that means value or worth. In other words, the idea of respecting someone because of their value. Respecting another because of their worth. So what he's saying here is we need to respect others, and out of respect for others and out of their respect for their value, I need to think of them first. I value them, and they are worthy of me putting them before myself. So we need to think of others before ourselves because we recognize their value, we recognize their worth. And so to give preference to others means we are to think of others before ourselves, and to honor another is to recognize their value and their worth. Again, we become so selfish. Our needs, our goals, our desires, we put them first because they're more valuable. My need is more valuable than someone else's need. My goals are more valuable than someone else's goals. My feelings are more valuable than other feelings. Paul says, no, we need to recognize the value and worth of others and think of them first. Out of respect for the value and worth of others, we are to think of others before ourselves. I know that's not what you're taught in school. That's not what you're taught in the world today. That's certainly not what we are accustomed to thinking. But that is God's word. It doesn't seem right because of what we see all around us today. But it is God's word. Would you go with me to Philippians, the passage that we read earlier? Philippians chapter 2. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 1349. Philippians chapter 2. We are to look out for the interest of others in this passage. In verse 3 of Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." You know, when we first read that, that just kind of like, whoa. That really gets your attention, doesn't it? Because again, we're taught to think that we're better than others, that we need to think of ourselves first, and we need to take care of ourselves first. And this idea that we need to esteem others better than ourselves, that just flies in the face of our world today. Paul says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. That word lowliness, perhaps your translation uses the word humility. It's actually a word that means to subject ourselves to others for the purpose of serving them. To subject ourselves to others for the purpose of serving them. That's the meaning of this word. It's used in 1 Peter chapter 5 with reference to being subjected to one another and being clothed with humility. But it's the idea of humbling ourselves before another person to serve them. So he says, in lowliness of mind, subject yourself to others in order to serve them. It's the same word used here in Philippians 2 and verse 8 where it says Christ humbled himself. What's it mean when it says Christ humbled himself? Well, at least in part, it's saying that he subjected himself to us. He subjected himself to our need. And our need was salvation. He subjected himself to our need and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he says in this passage, we are to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Christ Jesus, one who was willing to humble himself before others to serve them and to meet their needs. He did not put his own need first. He put our needs first. And we're to have that same mind. We are to humble ourselves and subject ourselves before others to serve them. In fact, this word, as you read some of the early Christian literature of the first and second centuries, this particular word really came to signify in Christian circles the spirit and attitude that most showed what Christ was. This word became very common within Christian circles in the first and second century. And it was the word that was used that most signified the attitude and spirit of our Savior. And we're to have that same mind, to subject ourselves to others to serve them. And notice what he says, as we subject ourselves to others to serve them, we're to esteem them better than ourselves. We're to esteem them better than ourselves. The word better then is the idea of surpassing, going beyond. So the idea is that we are to esteem them, we're to regard them as surpassing us or going beyond ourselves. Again, the idea is that we need to recognize that their needs are more important than ours. Their goals and their desires are more important than ours. They surpass ours, they go beyond ours. That needs to be our mindset. That was the mindset of Christ. Our need of salvation caused him to subject himself and become obedient to death. And we need to recognize that the needs of others should cause us to subject ourselves to them and to serve them to meet that need. So we're instructed to subject ourselves to others for the purpose of serving them because we regard them as more important than ourselves. Again, the minute we hear that, more important or better than or surpassing, it just kind of flies in the face of what we're taught. And yet it's the teaching of Scripture. It's the example of Christ. Let's go back. Well, first of all, look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He doesn't say don't look after your own things, but he said also look after the things of others. And that word look is a very fascinating word, actually. If I can just share that Greek word, it's skopeo. And it's the word from which we get our word scope. Those of you who are hunters, you have a scope on your rifle. And why do you have that scope on your rifle? Well, that scope, it causes you to really focus in on the target. Causes you to focus in on your mark. And that's the thought of this word. We're to look after the things of others. It's not just a flippant glance at the things of others, but it's an intense focusing on the interest of others, the concerns of others, the cares of others, the needs of others. Yes, even the feelings of others. It's a matter of focusing in on others and their interest and what they need. And as we focus in on the needs and concerns of others, we are to put ourselves in our needs and our concerns behind theirs. Look after their concerns, he says. So in verse 4, we're to look after with great care and concern the needs and interest of others, not just our own. Again, it doesn't say we shouldn't look after our concerns, but it is the idea that we put their concerns before our own. Go back just a half a dozen pages or so to Galatians chapter 5. I'm to obligate myself to others, I'm to value others, I'm to look out for the interest of others, and I am indeed to serve others. I want to look at that in light of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians, Paul is addressing really what we would refer to as legalism. And particularly the idea that we can be saved by our good works. It's really what Paul is addressing here in the book of Galatians. He also talks about depending upon our good works in order to become more spiritual, and he addresses that from the sense of legalism. But it's just basically the idea of depending upon our good works for our salvation. And as Paul writes this book of Galatians, he's saying that's such a bondage. If we're going to depend upon our good works to save us, then we are in bondage to the law, he says. We're just in bondage to that dependence upon our good works, and we're constantly trying to do better and constantly do better and never quite sure if we're doing enough, never quite sure we're good enough to be saved, and it becomes a burden and it becomes a bondage. And he says, it's not good works that saves us, it is faith alone in Jesus Christ. And when we come to a recognition that it is faith alone in Jesus Christ, that's freedom. He calls it the freedom of Christ, or the liberty of Christ, as opposed to the bondage of trying to earn our salvation through faith in Christ. We are free in Him. And so he makes that distinction between the bondage of trying to earn our salvation as opposed to the freedom we have through faith in Christ. But then, in verse 13 of Galatians 5, he says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." That is, you've come to recognize that faith in Christ is what saves you, not the bondage of your good works. "You've been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Use not this liberty, this freedom in Christ. Don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, some could say, okay, it's not my good works. I'm not saved by my good works, so I guess I can just live any way I want to. I can just indulge the flesh and do whatever I please, whatever satisfies me, whatever makes me feel good. I'll just indulge the flesh because it's not good works that saves me anyway. And Paul says, no, that's not the attitude. Don't use this liberty, this freedom that we have in Christ, that we are saved by faith alone, don't use that as an occasion or an opportunity to indulge your flesh. He says, instead, by love, serve one another. You see, there's a contrast. We can either indulge the flesh and serve ourselves, or we can love others and serve them. That's the contrast here. We can either indulge the flesh and serve ourselves, or we can love others and serve them. And notice, there's no middle ground. We're doing one or the other. We're either indulging the flesh and serving ourselves, or we're loving others and serving them. There's no middle ground here. I marvel at how most of us as Christians like to put ourselves in the middle ground. I'm not really indulging the flesh. I'm probably not serving others like I should. I'm just kind of in the middle someplace. But Scripture, over and over and over again, there is no middle ground. It's one or the other. We're either indulging the flesh and serving self, or we're loving others and serving others. And that's the contrast that he has here. And so in Galatians, Paul writes about the bondage that we have when we're trying to earn our salvation. But then in verse 13, he talks about the freedom that we have in Christ, not using it as an opportunity to indulge the flesh. As he speaks of this opportunity to indulge the flesh, he also goes on then and says in verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." He goes on and makes some more comparisons here, or contrast, I should say. He talks in verse 15 about biting and devouring and consuming one another. If we indulge the flesh and serve self, we will end up biting and devouring and consuming others. We're either going to serve ourselves, or we're going to serve others. And if we serve ourselves, we are going to bite and devour and consume others. Again, there's no middle ground expressed here at all. It's one or the other. Either you're indulging the flesh and serving self, or you're loving others and serving them. And if you're indulging the flesh and serving self, you're biting and devouring and consuming others rather than serving them. What's it mean to bite and devour and consume others? The word bite is a word really that was used with reference to a snake bite. It's used in a negative sense. It's about wounding others and hurting others. So when he talks about biting others, he's talking about either through our words or through our actions, we're causing wounds and causing harm and hurt to others. If we indulge the flesh and serve ourselves, if we put ourselves first, then we will, through our words and actions, be wounding and hurting others. And then he uses the word devour. It's a word that literally means to eat completely or to eat thoroughly. Obviously, it's used figuratively here in the sense of exploiting others or taking advantage of others. So if we're going to indulge the flesh and serve ourselves, then we're going to, in our words and in our actions, we're going to cause hurt and harm to others, and we're going to end up exploiting them and taking advantage of them. And as we hurt others and harm them and take advantage of them and exploit them, we end up consuming them or destroying them. You see, if we don't put others before ourselves, that's where it ends. If we don't put others before our own desires and our own goals and our own wishes, then we're going to start biting and devouring and consuming others, because we'll do whatever it takes to meet my need. We'll do whatever it takes to meet my goals. We'll do whatever it takes to meet my desires. We'll do whatever it takes to get what I want. And we harm others, we hurt others, we exploit others, we take advantage of others, and we end up destroying others. It's one or the other. We either put ourselves first, or we put others before ourselves. So we can either put ourselves first and serve ourselves by indulging the flesh, or we can put others first and serve them out of love. We don't have time to develop all the thoughts here in Galatians 5, but look at the last verse in this fifth chapter. Actually, the last two verses. He goes on and talks about the works of the flesh, and if we indulge the flesh, this is what it's going to look like. And then in contrast to that, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And then he ends with verses 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, that's how we end up biting and devouring and consuming others, because we get lifted up with our own pride, that desirous of vainglory. We get lifted up with our own pride. We begin to provoke others. That's the idea of our anger. And then we become jealous and envious of others. That's what it ends up when we put ourselves first. We get lifted up with pride. We become angry at others because they're not putting us first, and so we become angry with them. And then we become jealous of everyone around us. And we consume them. Scripture is very clear. It's not about me. It's about God. It's not about me. It's about others. Perhaps you have heard, or maybe some of you old timers remember the little kids' chorus, Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others in you, in the life of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus, who died in my place. O is for others we meet face to face. Y is for you. And whatever you do, put yourself last and spell joy. It's just a kid's song. It's just a little ditty. But it's filled with great biblical truth. You want to have joy in life? You want to have fulfillment? You want to have peace? You want to have contentment? You want to have happiness? Jesus first. Others second, yourself last. Once again, we can see that God has shown us how to have a life of fulfillment, and it's putting others before ourselves. And once again, we have to answer the question, do I believe God? Will I believe my own deceitful heart that says, no, I've got to put myself first in order to be happy? Or will we believe God? It is a choice every single one of us have to make. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we are grateful this morning that you've been clear in your word. We may try to manipulate it to say something else, but that's because our heart is deceitful. Help us to take you at your word. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe you. Help us be obedient to you and follow you in the paths of righteousness, obligating ourselves to others, valuing others, looking upon the interest of others and serving others, and putting others before ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Stand. Father, we're so grateful that Christ put us before himself, that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Thank you for his sacrifice in our behalf, and may we be willing to sacrifice for the sake of others. May we obligate ourselves to the unbeliever to share the gospel with them. And may we truly value others so that we might be concerned for them and looking after their interest to serve them. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. May God bless you.